gay community in Manchester, and trans people for the first time, and I fell in love with a trans person, and that first T for T relationship is like also what a lot of the album is about. And yeah, it was a really really turbulent time. But yeah, I think as a person, I tend to try to focus on like positive things in the present moment, and I think that kind of comes through in my songwriting. And that's actually something that I think my friend Han taught me. She's very into kind of going out for a walk and just really focusing on like the details of a plant or something like that, and really focusing on like the microscopic. I find like to be a very grounding exercise. And that's kind of where a lot of my songwriting comes from as well.
Yeah, I hear that in one of your songs where it's almost like this meditative process of like going for a walk, leaving everything else off your mind, and just focusing on like the sound of the birds chirping and stuff like that. I do hear that.
Yeah, no, I think, is that Highfield you're talking about? Yeah, that's the song which is, I wrote shortly after I'd experienced some violent hate crime. And I was struggling with PTSD symptoms, I just wanted to go for a walk in the park, but I was like so afraid to leave the house. And it's kind of about, yeah, that kind of like yearning to like reconnect with nature and center myself in that way.
Mm-hmm. And then in that sense, almost like choosing to say, I'm still gonna go out, I'm still gonna, you know, go for a walk, and focus on myself, is almost like in its own way a defiant kind of punk thing.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Sometimes just existing is the most punk thing. Staying alive, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think you don't really realize it. You don't really realize how important you are, how important your life is, until you've lived through it and come out the back. I remember like just being like, there is no point in continuing a lot of days. And now I'm so glad that I lived through all of that, you know. Like, I have such a happy life now, and I really want people to see that, and see that trans people, trans women in particular, can survive and live happy lives as women out there in the world, you know.
Yeah definitely, like the visibility aspect of it.
Yeah,
I feel like that's also an important part of your album, because it's your project name Jasmine 40 kind of comes from, for anyone listening that doesn't know, the whole T for T thing, where you're kind of, I guess, in relationships seeking out trans community. But I feel like your album is almost like a Jasmine for the people kind of thing, where it's Jasmine for the trans community, Jasmine for your trans friends, for fans listening in, for the retail workers dissociating in a Tesco, for those looking after anyone having a breakdown in a Tesco. There's like a lot going on there, and I feel like, yeah, the community aspect of it definitely comes out there as well.
Yeah, I think it's... Oh, here's my band with my food.
Amazing.
I think it's such an important part of why I've quit my job to do this, you know, and really like making a go of it. It's because like it is so important creating these kinds of queer spaces. I remember how important they were for me early in my journey, being able to like create a queer space where, you know, trans people are centered. It just feels so magical to me, and to be able to do it in like what isn't necessarily normally a queer venue or whatever, and like being able to just be like, no, we can be here and exist. And I think when it's very early in someone's transition or their coming out journey in whatever way, it can feel very scary, like trying to seek out these kinds of queer spaces. But I think it's very powerful for us just to be so visible and be like, no, we can go to a random city somewhere and create a queer space and enjoy community and meet our new friends, you know. It just feels very magical, and to be able to provide that for people is such a privilege, you know.
And to do that all over the world.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, we're going to America after this, and then we're doing a few shows in Australia and then going all around Europe and finishing at home in Manchester, which will be really nice. Really looking forward to that. And then, I have a few weeks off at the end of the year before going to Mexico in January. That's for our first Mexican show, which will be fun.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, Brandy Carlisle invited us to play at her festival, which is, like, crazy.
So many different experiences. Like, I'm sure people come up to you after shows or before shows or whatever, and they kind of give you, like, a little piece of local queer culture as well.
We've already had people be like, oh, let's take you out afterwards. Sadly, we have to get up at 5 a.m. to get a flight to DC. I've had so many recommendations for like things to do in this town. Stefano's just down here is where we've got some food, but I have like a whole map of queer and vegan things.
I saw that you posted about it yesterday.
My manager Jen has been like really helpful with like compiling that for me from everyone's recommendations. Mm-hmm. And we've been like exploring and like going to some of these places in the different cities. I had a great day off in Copenhagen. I just went and did like every single thing that everyone recommended, and I had like the best day. If anyone's listening, please let me know your local queer or vegan recommendations.
I'm sure they're gonna pour in.
Yes,
and you get to do all the touristy stuff, but then also hit up all the queer spots. Amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm really hoping to come back to Toronto next year. So let me know any local spots that haven't been mentioned on the map yet
that you haven't already hit up in your 24 hours here.
Exactly. And I went yesterday we went to the CN Tower. Yesterday was Emily, my bassist's birthday. We went to the tower and we went and bought she's really into the Blue Jays, so we got her a Blue Jays cap and we got her Maple Leafs jersey. Mm-hmm. And she's gonna be wearing them on stage tonight.
And people love that kind of stuff.
Really? Okay, good. I wasn't sure like what the vibe would be. Like, I know a lot of queer people hate sports, so but Emily is,
we're taking
is really
over everywhere.
Sports. Yeah, trans people belong in sports.
Yes,
trans people belong in ice hockey jerseys.
Absolutely. Yeah. They have the whole like pride tape on the like grips and stuff, which is really awesome to see.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. It's good to see them moving in that direction too.
Yeah.
But also this is your first headline tour. So it's the first time that like you're like people are coming for you this time.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they were doing before too, but like properly.
Yeah, we've done a headline tour in the UK before. But yeah, this is our first time touring a headline tour outside the UK. And it's wild. Like, I never would have believed you if you'd said like, oh, you're gonna be playing a headline show in Toronto.
In like a year or so. Like, it hasn't been much longer than a year since the Massey Hall show, right?
No, it was earlier this year. It was just a few months. And then in terms of just like how things have changed for me since coming out, I played some, obviously I toured with Lucy in 2018, but then after that I didn't tour because I got really sick with COVID and before that with ME. I kind of had written myself off, to be like back on the road again is like it's so magical. I'm very, very happy.
And I feel like it also makes every moment like you kind of appreciate it more almost because it could never have happened.
It's wild. I feel like I've been given a second life.
On your song Elephant, you've got the line, you know, now that I have a future, I can never be late.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like such a powerful little line.
I when I wrote that, it was about this relationship that was kind of in its infancy, and we were both in kind of bad places, and we were both trans and trying to just be friends basically, and it was me kind of saying like, oh well, now I know that like I have a future, I'm happy to wait for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like that can, I've seen people like respond to that in different ways and interpret that in ways like making it more explicitly about transition, which I think is very beautiful. Look at this, it's all for you.
Other songs of yours that also kind of do that, like we were talking a little bit about Guy Fawkes' Tesco Dissociation, which is one of my favorite songs on the album, and I feel like it's an anthem of sorts for so many different things. It's like a bit of a mental health album, a bit of a dissociation anthem, a retail workers anthem, also in some ways like a dysphoria anthem too.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's a song that I wrote about a time when I was, yeah, just completely dissociated, and my friend took me into Tesco and I didn't remember any of that, and it's about like me like just like recovering from that experience. And yeah, it was because it was when I was really struggling with PTSD, and would just like not remember huge portions of my day every day, and that was terrifying. And then kind of like thinking about this kind of bright future, and yeah, but yeah, it's really nice to it seems like such a specific kind of experience, but like it's crazy how many people relate to it and how far it's reached, and how it's resonated with people all around the world in different walks of life. Yeah, I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, love that song. And one more song, like one more really important song on the album is Woman. And I also love the like intro that goes into it. Like you've got the song Transition with like these choruses of voices, and they're, you know, some of them are talking, some of them are singing, and then they just kind of unify into the song Woman. And then that's obviously a really important song as well. But I just love that little section of the album too.
Yeah, that was written by my collaborator Phoenix. Sadly, isn't playing this show because she's playing with Lucy.
Okay.
At All Things Go today. But she is actually joining us for our show at All Things Go on Sunday, and then playing with us for the rest of the tour. But yeah, she did the musical arrangement for Transition, but it's using lyrics from different songs on the album, and yeah, I think it's really cool. That's the end of the album. It's actually the first song chronologically that I wrote, out of all of those songs, and it was actually about coming out to my then spouse and how that conversation went. Spoiler alert, it didn't go very well. And yeah, it's about standing in my myself knowledge and having the confidence to be like, nah, I'm not gonna pretend anymore, I'm a woman, you know.
Yeah, it's a weight off your shoulders too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think it's a really nice way to kind of wrap up the album.
And you've got a deluxe version of the album that's just come out.
Yeah, so that's about it's dedicated to my best friend Yulia, who I talked about before. She's sadly in prison at the moment.
Again, political prisoners.
Yes. She's in prison for 2 years without trial. She's been allegedly associated with people going into weapons factories in the UK and smashing up Israeli weapons. And the Israeli state has been interfering in the case, and also several international humanitarian law firms have been trying to intervene, and the UN even has tried to intervene. But yeah, she's called Yulia Trott, and she's one of the Filton 24 who are arrestees associated with an action on an Israeli weapons factory in Bristol in the UK. And yeah, she's just such a wonderful person. I went to visit her the day before I flew out here. It's just like, it's so horrible seeing how she's struggling so much on the inside. She's been kept in a maximum security prison with a whole lot of other political prisoners, and yeah, they've all been like denied bail. It's a horrible misuse of terrorism legislation, and you can see that they're trying to do the same thing in the US at the moment with trans people. So it's the same playbook, and it's wild. So yeah, I really want people to know that that's happening to her, that she's in prison for 2 years without trial, and that, you know, in the UK, over here, no one has civil liberties. They can lock up whoever they want, you know.
You don't realize how conditional it is until things start to chip away.
Exactly.
In Julia's case, is there anything the people listening can do? Because I'm sure a lot of people
will. The main thing is, like, we're really struggling to pay for everyone to visit Julia because she's in prison, like, at the other end of the country in the south, and all of her friends and family live in Manchester in the north. So, yeah, if you're able to donate to contribute to visit costs, it costs, like, £400, which I think is like $600-700 a week to, like, organize all the visits and pay for trains, pay for hotels for people. So yeah, if people are able to contribute, there's a website called freeyulia.com. That's Julia with a Y-U-L-I-A. Yeah, freeyulia.com. If you're able to donate, that'd be really helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Manchester, now it's a city with a huge musical legacy, as everyone knows, but I feel like exploring the, like, the queer music scene over there is maybe a little less talked about thing.
Yeah, it's kind of more of an underground thing. There's like a lot of really awesome queer cabarets over there. My favorite one is called Fatty Acid. That's, yeah, run by a trans woman called Vivian, who was one of the first trans women who I met in Manchester. She plays in this really awesome, like, DIY punk band called Ether Mech. You should definitely check them out. They're, like, really awesome. They've actually just put out a new EP this year. There's just, like, yeah, so much awesome stuff going on. It's kind of a massive scene. Emily has just started a new project called Girl Teeth, which is like a queer emo band. It's like so fucking good. I've heard the recordings, big things coming. Yeah, she also has like a solo project, just m.ily.rng, same as her Instagram handle. But yeah, she's like such a talented songwriter and musician as well. It's so cool to have her in my band. But yeah, we've
also
organized
your whole band met in like the Manchester trance music scene.
Yeah, just kind of like the trans meetups and stuff like that, you know, and group chats. And actually there's Phoenix, who I play with, I mentioned before, we actually met at an Alex G concert in Manchester, so that was really sweet. It's a very like close-knit community. I'm trying to organize a fundraiser for both Julia's Solidarity Fund and Trans Mutual Aid Manchester in December, which will be really nice, kind of return to my chosen family back home. And
like your grassroots scene.
Exactly. Yeah, it's such a beautiful little community. I have so many friends back home. It's so nice.
And also, there's a choir on your album, the Trans Chorus of LA, that recorded the choir vocals on some of your songs.
They're so cool. They are actually hopefully going to be performing with us in LA, which will be so cool.
I'll be so special.
We're trying to work that out at the moment, like logistically, how they're going to like fit on the stage and stuff like that. They're really lovely. I don't actually know. It's not massive. We're playing in the Masonic Lodge, which is at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. It's like a really awesome venue. It's like a really historic building. Do you know Mal Bloom?
I've heard the name.
He's like a trans artist who's really awesome, and he's doing a very special solo set there. The trans community in LA is like incredible. Mm-hmm. It's massive, and it was really nice watching some of the videos from that recording session, because I've stayed in touch with a lot of the people in the choir. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice like seeing them being like, oh my god, I didn't know them then, but like I know them now. And yeah, it's very nice.
It sounds like it'll be a big group huddle over there too.
Yeah, 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 yeah. would be nice, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we actually put out a video for Woman recently, and there's some clips of the choir in that.
Mm-hmm.
The musical director of the choir is a person called Abby, who is just really wonderful, and they gave this really inspiring speech, and we featured that at the beginning of the video. Mm-hmm. So that was a nice way to include them as well.
And that video too was a community effort, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was everyone sending in their own clips of themselves or live videos of me and all of these things. It's just really nice. I have I love my fans so much. They're all so wonderful. The person who was just sitting behind us here, they were called Pauline, and they came and delivered a whole bunch of face masks for the audience to wear. Yeah, to the venue just now, and they said that we could. Oh my God, there's a queue outside the venue already. They said, we can take whatever we want to the next show to give them out to the audience. So
I love that. Thoughtful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to talk a little bit about some of the recording work on your songs.
Yeah.
Because I noticed when you listen to it, it's super raw, super stripped down, where there's production on everything else. Your vocals are kind of the center of the album. There's very light effects and stuff on it.
Yeah.
And I can sense that that's a bit of that's a choice, right? To focus the vocals and stuff like that. And I know from a lot of trans friends telling me too that it's an important part of your identity and all that stuff, and then to feature that as the focus of an album that's so much about trans community is also I'm guessing that's a deliberate choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just it felt like a very collaborative project in the studio and since that's kind of half of the reason that this is called the Tranarchy World Tour is because it's just everyone kind of has an equal say, you know what I mean, in the project. We've had so many incredible musicians be part of this and come and go. It's been quite a fluid thing. It's been so lovely. I feel very, very lucky to be a part of this project, let alone be the face of it, you know. So It's everyone who comes to the shows is part of that too.
Mm-hmm. But also I've heard a lot of people, and I agree with this, talking about the vocals, because your voice sounds so wonderfully sweet and everything on it too.
Thank you.
So do you wonder about how that'll change as you go on further in your transition?
I think we're gonna stop soon. My voice is changing a lot. You'll probably hear when I sing tonight, it's changed a lot since the album. It's part of it, and I think it's beautiful just kind of showing that, very happy to be honest about it. It is quite a scary thing. I often feel quite vulnerable when I talk about my voice or think about my voice, but I feel like I've kind of gone past that now, which I think is helpful. And really excited to see where it will go.
And what's coming up next for you? I'm guessing festivals next summer and stuff?
The next thing after this is the Mexico show. Loads of really exciting things next year to be announced.
Okay.
Watch this space.
Look out for that. Well, best of luck for all the shows. Good luck for the tour.
Thank you so
much. Cannot wait to see the show today, the community and everything.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
If you've been held by me, you felt my heart bleed through. What do you call woman? A breath of gin, softer skin. You say it's hard when you don't have the language. It's only hard to talk. 'cause I know who I am, and I understand that I am in my soul a woman.
Something to tell you. Your fix of post-punk, new wave, garage rock, and proto-punk? Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Hey, but don't tell anyone. I'm Izzy, and this is Our Secret.
It is now just after 9:30. You are listening to CFRCFM 101.9 FM, no longer on cable, I don't think, and available on the World Wide Web at www.cfrc.ca. I am Weave. This is the penultimate show. I think that's how you pronounce it. My second last show is happening. This is going to be a fun one. Next week is like the big blowout, the last Weave, as it were. But I'm going to try an experiment tonight, and I have some help here with DJ Split Seat. It's in the house, and we're going to try. It's basically either going to be great or it's just going to go completely off the rails tonight, which is sort of like hang on to your seat radio, I think. But more of that's going to be coming in the top of the hour. To start off with, so October 18th, we're going to actually get some doom metal action in Kingston. And I'm probably going to butcher this, but Thantifaxath is going to be playing at the Grad Club with Woe on October 18th, so 2 weeks from now. And you can get tickets at Something Else Records. They're kind of involved with, you know, putting this whole dealio on. It's going to be a night of just pure doom metal action, which at the Grad Club at that. So it should be entertaining. So I'm going to play some Thantifaxath and then probably some Woe, who will be opening the show. And then, I don't know, a couple things here and there. And then we're going to get into the real fun at the top of the hour here with your host Weave, along with DJ Split Seat in the co-pilot seat. So this song we're going to kick is called The Bright White Nothing at the End of the Tunnel, as doom metal a name of a song as you can get. So here it is, Thantifaxath on CFRC. We'll be right back. Radio. It is just after, well, no, it's actually just before 10 p.m., but, you know, 10 p.m. all the same. You are listening to CFR-CFM 101.9 FM, also available worldwide streaming on DOS World Wide Web at www.cfrc.ca. I am Weave. We had a little Shallow North Dakota in there, as well as some Bison, BC, and then we had Woe and Thanafaxith.